I've been seeing a lot of either production companies or influencers going on the debate of quality over quantity.
Create, publish, and then reflect. That's how you get to quality content. I agree, you need volume, you need reps, but if you do reps unintentionally where you're just putting the content out there without actually reflecting and asking yourself some questions to actually improve on your craft, it's gonna be very difficult to get to that quality.
We are such big fans of you as an entrepreneur, creating your own systems and processes and team to support your vision.
Learning by doing is the best way to do it. You can also learn by teaching, and of course you can learn some by information observation.
You got to define, what does quality mean to you? What does quality looks like to you? Do you have any reference of things or content that you like? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Guys, welcome back to Content is Profit. We are back here. Fonsi is back from Arizona recording an event with one of our amazing clients, right?
Yep.
How was that? Good?
That was a lot of fun. Arizona is a beautiful place. It was a great retreat. Met great entrepreneurs. I was actually thinking that on the way here. I'm like, dude, the best part of entrepreneurship and podcasting is actually meeting incredible, amazing people that are always looking to better themselves. That was their retreat. Just people looking to work on their internal trash, make improvement. And I love all that too. You know, I love all that self-development. You know, opening up and being vulnerable. Am I the best at opening up and being vulnerable? No, but that's why I think I enjoy it, you know. Yeah. Actually get to build deep, deep relationships. So, incredible event. Got to film the whole thing for a day of filming. Lots and lots of footage. Lots of work to be done next to edit all that stuff, but it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a good product. So, yep. Well, we're happy to have you back, Fonsi. You missed a good Sunday league game.
But I know. Fine. I was listening about it. I was like, damn, dude. Those are the games I thrive when people are trash talking that much.
All right. Well, today is going to be a fun episode, right? Because over the last week, obviously, I've been consuming a lot of content. That's what we do. To study,
but do you
to
consume
learn
a lot of content with which lens? With the lens of, I'm tired. I'm just going to swipe my life away. Or under the lens of, let me see what's Gucci.
It's always under the lens of, let me see what's Gucci and what can we learn? What are the trends that we see out there? What are some of the creators doing? And, you know, inspiration, things like that, right? We have a channel with our team that we send them different things. Like, hey, can we try this? Can we try that? From structure to how it looks and different things. But I came across this video from the CEO of Instagram, right? And demystifying the fact that a lot of people think the more they post on their social media account, the less followers they're going to have, the less engagement, people are going to start getting tired of you. And he went actually on the video and he explained that that's completely false based on the data that they have seen. That, of course, if people start seeing your content more, you know, more often, that they, when they've been following you, some of them might unfollow you because they don't resonate with your message at that point. But you're eventually, over a long period of time, you can do that. So this was really interesting to me because it comes from, obviously, the source of one of the major social media platforms that we work on. And also, I've been seeing a lot of either production companies or influencers, you know, going on the debate of quality over quantity, right? It's like, it's always going to be there for some companies is, you know, what they do. So obviously they're going to be talking about it, but I wanted to bring those two together and kind of open the discussion here with Fonsi and bring a little bit behind the scenes of maybe our personal story. I think it will help a ton of people, but also based on some of the examples and some elements that, you know, you might be missing or not taking into account when you go and produce content like this.
Yeah, and before getting started with those, this reminds me of poker. And the reason being is when I started playing poker, you know, I like diving deep into things and I learned about variance, which is very, very important. Meaning, you know, when you have something that has odds involved, there is variance, which means the amount of, I mean, and I'm probably not saying this in the right way by any means, but this is how I understood it, which is, you know, the results, how you see them and perceive them, they change depending on the amount of the sample. So a lot of people base their results on a smaller amount of samples, meaning you can see a lot of ups and downs and swings, right? You can say like, oh, I'm on a winning streak. You know, I won 10 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times. I'm going to keep putting money into this thing. Well, overall, in the long term, you can see the variance playing its role. And then you can see how, you know, let's say it's 50-50. Let's say you're flipping a coin, right? 50-50. If you flip it 10 times and you, there is a big, there's a chance that you can get 8 out of times heads, right? And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to keep picking heads because heads are coming out. But it doesn't matter because it's always 50-50 chance or one or the other. So then when you get a big sample, let's say over 1,000 times, then you can see that it's actually 50-50, right? And this, the reason I say it reminds me to that is because I feel a lot of people base these comments and these assumptions in shorter term data, right? And they post a few videos, they start losing people, and they're like, when I post, I lose videos, right? But they don't take into consideration their maybe their lifetime data, as in look at all the, you know, the like growth that growing? You have experienced. Yeah. Like overall, you have been growing consistently, and yeah, maybe you have a little dip in here, but you know, if you keep posting consistently over a long period of time, you're just gonna get in front of people and keep growing and growing. So it's an interesting concept. I know I totally butcher it, but look it up. It's like poker variance. Definitely teaches you a lot about that. I know it has to be with gambling and odds. I was just relating that concept to what we're gonna be talking about today.
Yeah, and you know, what we're gonna talk about today. My lens is obviously one is podcast episodes, video and audio in one sense, like for if you're imagining like what asset are we talking about, and then micro content, like those two things, and we can dive into both. But
yeah, and we might have some separate
opinions
as well,
which is fine. So you know, the podcast side, by the way, thank you so much if you're listening or watching. We love you and adore you. But you know, the last few months I've seen a decrease on 7-day, 30-day downloads, right? And I've been trying to figure out like why is that, right? And I jumped on a call Friday with our amazing Carly from HubSpot, and to kind of dive into this, right? I reached out and be like, hey, have you seen something like that in the network? And turns out that every single podcast in the network has seen the same decrease on it, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with the new release of Apple. That's what they told me. The Apple podcast, that the new technology with the transcripts and different things is not automatically downloaded for the subscribers, and people have actually to do that. And then that's also a mix with Spotify, the difference between a download and a stream, right? So if you are producing a podcast, just keep an eye on your data, right? And then what happens is, because we also went into it now, as in today, we're producing about 2 episodes a week, right? Sometimes we record 3, sometimes we do this, but we do 2. But
we do deuce.
But we are releasing 2 a week at the moment, right? So I was like, well, is there a reason the number of downloads or the number of people listening to the show has decreased a little bit just because of that? So I started playing with that data, right? And obviously there's a mix of things. And it got me thinking about also what we talked about, you know, with Grow the Show was, okay, is the content actually good to keep people, right? So the retention and like the people completing the show has actually increased, which is exciting, right? Thank you. That means that we're probably getting better at this. And if you have any feedback, don't hesitate to reach out to us on our social media, on our website.
Yeah, let us know what you wanna listen to here on the show.
So there's elements of, okay, well, frequency, right? Quantity of content that we've been producing, right? We also have the clips that go out, which have increased in some platforms in the amount of views and the amount of followers, right? I put the data filters. We use a tool called Metrical that you can look at data for a year, 2 years behind. And everything is going up, trending, as in the people that are resonating with our message, the views, the follows to the account. So I'm like, okay, perfect. And again, we're not putting an effort to grow those apart from putting content out consistently, right? So in our baseline, everything is looking good. So now I hear all these people say, okay, well, quality is way better than the quantity. And I was like, okay, well, how do you actually get to what we call quality? And quality can also be your own personal opinion, right? Because for me, quality can be the quality of the message, of the information that we're giving, right? Versus a lot of these production companies, when they say quality is that maybe the production value, right? Or the footage they're using or the type of editing that they're using, right? And it's very subjective to the person that is creating the content. And that's why we are such big fans of you as an entrepreneur, you as a creator, creating your own systems and processes and team to support your vision, right? Because there's a big element that we cannot be consistent, or we cannot be frequent, or we cannot increase the quality if first we're not happy with the content that we're creating baseline, with our message, right? If we're not convinced with that, it's going to be really hard to scale that content, whether you choose quality or quantity, right? So with that thought in mind, right, the way that we've been able to sustain the show for a while now, it's been, what, 4 years? And our life completely changes, provided so many opportunities, has been because we found a vehicle, which is the main show and the clips, to stay consistent for a long period of time. And for us, it's 3 conversations a week, or, you know, 2 to 3 episodes that we create a week that we enjoy these conversations, right?
Yeah.
And then from that episode, we create those clips. Yes, there's thousands more times to, thousand more ways to create different type of content. But that has been the framework that has helped us stay consistent over a long period of time and provide those opportunities. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Where were you, Fonzie? Were you here in the studio?
Not really, dude. My mind wasn't somewhere else. I was like, oh.
Okay. But okay. So here's the thing, right?
I'm still traveling back from Arizona.
Yeah, you're still traveling. You're still on the airplane. Okay. So here's the thing, right? Like, a lot of people are like, okay, let's say you don't go. Our theory on quantity, right? Because you see big influencers like Grant Cardone or Gary Vee is like, post, document, like put the volume out there, right? My theory is that a lot of people are against that message, first, because they don't have the same resources as they do, and they cannot sustain that. It's challenging to keep up with that, right? And also, they probably haven't done it themselves, and they're doing a different method, which we actually have seen from some of these, right? And they obviously root for the method that they're doing, right? So, you know, we have tested it out, right? We've done long volume, we've done low volume, high volume, different things for ourselves, for the clients. Some clients like higher quality of the editing or like the type of content that's done. Some other clients are more lenient and they just be like, okay, let's clip it out and let's put it out there, right? And both we've seen work. So let's say you go with quality. My issue here is like, how do you actually get to quality, right? So go back to our soccer days. How do you become a good soccer player, Fonzie?
Practice.
You put in the reps, right?
Yes, sir.
You're very lazy too. So, you know, we had to drag you to the field to put in the reps. But if you ever played a sport.
I did the mental practice.
You did the visualizations.
The visualization.
And, you know, for those who don't know, you know, we both play here on scholarships in the U.S. You know, we got the chance to also play in Europe. And it's a part of our life that we, you know, love and adore. And that's why you hear us talk about soccer a lot. But for every athlete out there, for you to become a good quality player, you have to put in the reps. It's the same with content. You have to put in the reps in order to become good. And again, this is based on your resources, your capacity as a creator. If you are the creator, you know, refer to the Publishing Pyramid episode. Just search Publishing Pyramid Beast Bros. You're going to be able to find it. We talk in detail about this stuff. But again, like, where are you? Are you a solopreneur that are creating yourself? Do you have a team? Or, you know, do you have a big company that you have a team that does this, right? But to become good and to create something of quality that you personally consider quality, that not other people consider quality, you have to put in the reps. So for us, that road was quantity, because it increased the frequency on how can we produce it so we can learn faster from the good things and the bad things of content that's put out there, then grab that feedback and continue to improve on the process.
Yeah, there's... 2 things I want to share. First is a story. I'm going to say it quick. I've shared this before, but it's a school class of photography, and the teacher says, all right, everybody's going to divide in 2 groups, and we're going to do a yearly project. 1 group, you guys only can take 1 picture and bring it at the end of the year, but you can only take 1, your best picture, but only 1. The other group, you can take a picture every single day until the end of class, and then you can bring me your best picture. So the question goes back and it's like, all right, which group do you think did better? All right, obviously, I would assume that maybe you will pick the people that did a picture every single day, right, of the school year, and then they got to pick which one was their best. And the reason being is, again, they put on the reps. Now, I think there is a little caveat in there, which – again, obviously that is very general story. It's mostly to prove a point of putting in the reps, but you also got to put in the reps intentional, right? And we've talked about this before. Actually, one of our frameworks that I remember not too long ago, we called it the CPR, right? Create, publish, and then reflect. And a lot of people forget to do that, right? They forget, they create, they put it out there, and then it's like, all right, let's move on to the next one. Let's create, let's put it out there. And they don't really reflect on what they're creating, right? They're not asking some questions like, how can I improve this hook? Was this hook good, right? Or seeing the data behind it and say, did I retain the amount of people that I wanted to retain? Where are people dropping off on the video? How can I improve this? And that's how you get to quality content. It's, again, I agree, you need volume, you need reps. But if you do reps unintentionally, where you just put in the content out there without actually reflecting and asking yourself some questions to actually improve on your craft, it's going to be very difficult to get to that quality. Now, there's multiple ways to learn as well. I believe personally that learning by doing is the best way to do it. You can also learn by teaching. It's another way to do it. And of course, you can learn some by, you know, information, observation. So when you're scrolling on your social media, a way to put in, if you want to call it an invisible rep, is to look at a piece of content and ask yourself that questions, right? Do the CPR, the R part, the reflection on that one piece of content. Ask yourself, why did this piece of content hook me? Why was it so good? And then you're going to learn why the hook performed so well. Then you can ask yourself, why did it retain me all the way to the end? Why did I watch it 2-3 times, right? Why did I went on the comments, on the captions to read what it had, right? Why? Keep asking yourself that, and you're going to improve. So then when you go and create your next piece of content, you're going to have a wide array of tools and lessons that you can implement into that. So again, I think the lesson part of it is not, the reps cannot, are not necessarily done only by taking the action. Sure, that is one way to put on the reps. The other way is by being intentional how you consume, right? That start of observation. And the other one, which is, I feel like, a way that we do it as well, is teaching it, right? We have, which goes hand in hand with observation. You observe things and then you go on, we teach them to our clients, we teach them to our team, so they are the ones doing the editing and all that stuff. Yeah. So I think those are some ways on which you can learn and improve the quality of your content.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to that, obviously, like I said, very subjective to your own opinion. Like, you gotta define what does quality mean to you, right? Or what does quality looks like to you? And I'm very surprised every time we have a conversation about content or somebody that comes to the studio or people that connect with us online, is like, do you have any reference of things or content that you like? And we understand life is busy and you might not be consuming as much content as we do, right? This is our job. But that's a good starting point for a lot of companies. Like for example, this piece of content, this video, this podcast episode, this means quality to me. This, like, from 0 to 100, this is like 90%. And something like that is what we want to create for a company or for our business. And then from that, you can start reverse engineering. Like, okay, what are the elements that we need, right? And maybe something that you reach out to us, you reach out to an editor that is a friend of yours and be like, what is needed to get to this point, right? Do I need 2 editors? Do I need 1 editor? Do I need an agency? Do I need an internal team, right? Is it me? Can I learn it, right? We just had a call on Friday with this incredible entrepreneur that, you know, has a series of businesses and she wants to start coaching. And in her budget, she doesn't have anything to go hire somebody right now. And she wants to learn the basics of video podcasting, for example, right? And there's different tools that allow you to get it to a certain level. So the whole call was educating her, like, look, with your own skills, if you're learning this from scratch, here's probably where until you're gonna, you know, the level of quality of content that you might be able to produce with the tools that are available today, which is actually really good to get you moving. But I will start to consider to bring somebody in your team to start taking over and elevating what you already create, right? So you gotta be very clear on, like, what are those resources that take to create something of what you consider quality. But now, from what Fonsi said and the CPR method and how do you read this data and, like, how do you actually know what to improve, right? I'm going to share with you a couple that you can start looking at it today and be like, okay, here are some improvements that we can make. So let's say you do a podcast, audio podcast, right? For audio podcast, if you look at your data and more than 50% of those downloads come from Apple, you can go to Apple Podcast Connect, and you can log in and you can actually see specific data from Apple. And what you're going to be looking for is your seven day downloads, right? Which is going to indicate, you're going to see a trend of like how many downloads average and then what's above average. That means that people are clicking on those headlines that you have, right? And then your completion rate. Your completion rate obviously explains the people that listen to the full episode. So you're going to be looking for outliers. What we normally recommend or trying to look for is above 70%, right? And what are those episodes that went above 70%? Are those solo episodes? Are there shorter episodes? Are there like interactions? Like what are you teaching? What are we talking about in there, right? And then start learning from the outliers. And then you're also going to be looking for the completion rates of less than 20%, for example, right? At the bottom, right? And we'll start learning from what we could call failure, but you know, you learn from that too and be like, okay, what happened here, right? Why did I lose people in minute X? Why keep losing people in these type of conversations, right? For us, it went when we were starting to explore a lot of like the backstories that had nothing to do with content is profit, for example. That's one of the trends that we identify on that. Now, if you do clips from your podcast or if you do clips with something like that, what are some of the clips that obviously get more views, right? This is very simple to look at on TikTok or on YouTube Shorts if you're publishing there, or even Instagram Reels. Keep in mind, if you do the same clip in different platforms, you might get different data from each platform, right? And then the completion rate on there, right? Like, are your clips being watched more than 20%? Are your clips being watched more than 50%? And clips we call videos that are less than a minute, like little 60-second videos, right? But you can also look at this data for your YouTube videos, right? And same thing. It's like, well, why are people not clicking here? Is the title not good enough? Is the thumbnail not good enough? Like, are we not creating curiosity for people to clip? And you can also change those and update those as you go, right? So one of the things that we found, for example, one of our most popular clips on YouTube is one rule that Fonsi was explaining, which is a Tai Lopez rule, right? So it started with something like that, the rule of thirds, or the rule of 30%, and then it was not Fonsi on the thumbnail. It was an image of a girl, right? That it was a clip of something that we put there as B-roll, and that for some reason got the click-through rate through the roof. So we're like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then we started seeing that clips that had the thumbnail with not me or Fonsi were performing better than if my face or Fonsi's face show up there. And that's totally okay. That's not a hit to the ego. It's the fact that people don't recognize, now they don't know who we are, which is totally okay, right? So they might be more attracted to find or to click something that looks a little bit different than, you know, Fonsi's face or my face. And those are the things that we cannot take personal, and then learn from those and be like, okay, how can we incorporate those elements into our education to our team, into our editing? Can it be a process? Can we test it out further? And so on. So those are a few things that I wanted to share, a little bit more tactical on like how do you actually get to learn these things. Yeah. And then hopefully that will help you move the needle forward towards that quality, you know, and sustaining that quantity in order to be successful here in content.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Anything, any last thoughts, Fonsi, on it?
I mean, I really enjoyed the topic of obviously leveraging what people already know into your content to attract their attention, right? At the end of the day, you know, I'm going to ask you this question. How many times inside of your feed you see podcast clips of random people you don't know? And if it's a random person you don't know and you go and check out who they are, do they already have a very big following or maybe not, right? I'm going to argue that majority of the podcast clips that are going to show in your feed are from personalities that already have an established podcast, an established following, right? People that already are catching interest from others. And that's not to deter you from creating these clips, but that's to, you know, kind of like show you that there's a way to leverage those clips. And my brother was saying the clip that got a lot of traction was the one that we were talking about, Tai Lopez. So we put his image, we put videos of him, and if we use that as a hook to grab people's attention, and hopefully, right, some percentage of that translates into resonating with us and want to hear about us. So it's okay to talk about other people and then leverage those moments to get in front of others.
Yeah, I recently got hooked with one of the Daily Wire creators, right, because the latest videos that I started seeing were reaction videos of non-woke comedians, right, whether, you know, whatever you think about, whatever, you know, I don't care politically, personally, yeah. but I like comedians. So yeah. that was the hook for me. And I got hooked because this is this person, under his point of view, reacting to what these comedians were saying. And I watched hundreds of those clips. And then yeah. I went to the YouTube channel and started consuming content there of longer form. And that's really the trend that happens, right? You as a consumer, what are the trends that you look for when, you know, when you're consuming content? Yeah. What attracts you? What is the thing that that gets your attention?
Yeah. And I will say, these people might be thinking, it's like, well, but what if the comedian is unknown? Yeah, but comedy itself is known. So when you see somebody on stage, right, with a stand and a microphone, and you kind of see a little bit of the heads of the audience, your mind immediately goes to, oh, that's a joke, that's entertaining, let me give it a chance, right, to see if it's funny.
Yeah.
And then the screen minimizes, go a little bit maybe at the bottom, and you see that it's a person reacting to the joke, and now you're curious, right? It's like, oh, well, what? Are they reacting to the joke? Why are they reacting? Are they going to say something triggering? Is it actually going to be funny?
Do I agree? Do I disagree?
Exactly. So again, there's ways you can play with this to leverage that to catch attention.
That's right. All right. I like this episode. Let us know what you think. You can go to contentsprofit.com, communicate with us there, or you can go to social media at BizBrosGo. But I think that's it, Fonzie. I asked you already any last thoughts, and then we did a whole new section. So any last thoughts?
yes. Now that we're talking about comedy, I'm just going to say a new good friend said that I am 10 out of 10 funny. Just saying. 10 out of 10 funny. You should do stand-up. All right. Close it up.
All right, guys, with that said, thank you so much for tuning to the Content's Profit Podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at BizBrosGo.
That is right. And if today's episode helped you move one step closer towards your goal, please don't forget to share this episode and leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Bye, guys.